correct. This has been a Christ Center Communication Message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit.
The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Up and you get hit with an insight that changes everything. Didn't know how it came to you, it just sort of popped into your head. Well, it happened to me today. I want to share it with you. Hopefully, this insight will help you too. Matter of fact, I believe that you're probably in the same situation I am. I looked in the mirror and I realized. At that moment, I realized it had never hit me before. This is as old as I've ever been. It was a bit of a shock. And now, I'm older than I was then. As I speak, I'm older. Delighted to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. We'll be older at the end of the program. Hopefully, have gained an hour's worth of wisdom. Not from my own efforts, but from your calls. Helps a lot. You have to understand that in any kind of ability to help someone else out, you learn by listening and observing for the most part. I came out of grad school at age 25. Had I jumped onto this radio program then, I no doubt would have had far, far less experience and ideas and clinical acumen to share. No question about it. Absolutely no question about that. Somebody would say, well, have you learned more just by the last 30 plus years out of school? Or did you learn more in school? If you're talking about actual knowledge, book stuff, obviously, you learned more in school simply because you had to. I remember when I took the doctoral candidacy exams, I spent 6 months. I read dozens of books, hundreds of articles. I could quote all kinds of theories and data, 97% of which is gone. But since then, with the experience of clients, with the experience of you, and my own reading, and attempting to self-educate over these years, I've gained a lot more than I gained in those years in grad school. I got older, too, in grad school. All of that aside, I'm delighted to have you with me here on The Doctor Is In. I was just killing minutes. That's all I was doing. Sorry for the violent language. 877-573-7825 is the number to call to get onto the program. 877-57-EQUAL is the number. As I said, I am a clinical psychologist. Now, here on the program, I do professional clinical psychology stuff, diagnose, give tests. Obviously, that would be very difficult for me to give you some kind of test, wouldn't it? Do therapy? No. But we can give thoughts and ideas and educate. Andrew Krucek, the phone picker-upper, official call screamer of The Doctor Is In, which is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio Communications and the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Is there. So, 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL, call. Situations in your life, kids, your own parents, family members, you know, holidays are coming up on us fast. Got about 2 weeks before trick-or-treat, which I gotta, at some point, give out my tips for trick-or-treating on how to get the best candy bars. You know, when I was a kid, all right, I'm digressing again. When I was a kid, everybody gave those big honking candy bars. You know, the ones that were like logs. Took two people to carry them and put them in your basket. And we knew which houses would come out with a tray of Kit Kats and Reese's Peanut Butter Cups and Snickers bars and Baby Ruths. Nobody wanted Zagnuts, man. You got a Zagnut. That was just a mess. You almost got mad at the person. Said, a Zagnut? What do you give me a Zagnut for? Clark bars were close to as bad. Nowadays, if you get a big candy bar, oh, man, that's like hitting the jackpot. You get all these midgies. Everybody gets you a midgie. But I'm going to explain, well, I'm really digressing, but this is just a thought that hit me. In pledge drives, all of our affiliates have their pledge drives, their share-a-thons, and they will tell you that pretty much on the last day and even the last hours, their support is the best. Well, there's a parallel with Halloween. Most places now don't unlimit it like it was when I was a kid. And you had beggar's night, you had Halloween night, you could go out 2-3 nights. And really, you stayed out until you noticed that most people weren't answering the door about 3 in the morning. Well, now they set times, typically 3 to 5, something like that. My theory is, from about a quarter to 5 to 5 o'clock, you can pretty much double your intake of stuff. Because the people want to get rid of it. That's it. They don't want that stuff around their house. So they'll say, take 6. Go ahead, take 6. And I always say, well, because I go out with my nephews now. I don't think I've missed a trick-or-treat in 50 years. More than that. I've always found a nephew or my own kids. That's part of the reason I kept adopting kids. Because we kept adopting younger ones, and as the older ones wouldn't go trick-or-treating anymore, we could still take the younger ones. And it got to the point where I was just a little too tired to go along. Just some trick. I'm going to give a more full monologue on trick-or-treating pointers in a little bit. I have a friend who is a fellow counselor. He and I rent office space together. I'd say 3 weeks ago now. He's a hunter. He was putting together a tree stand about 20 feet up. He fell 20 feet down, shattered the L2, lumbar 2 vertebra in his back, shattered it. If any of those bone fragments would have gone into his spine, he would have been quadriplegic from the waist down. No, paraplegic. Okay. He crawled on his hands, like an army crawl, to his phone to get the 911. He was out in the middle of nowhere. Since then, he's had a major operation on his back. Saw him today in the office. He had come in. He was braced up, sitting rather stiffly. He said something to me. He pointed out that because of the 14-inch incision in his back and the 45 staples, I think, that he had and removed, he was excruciatingly sore. Any kind of movement, a sneeze, a laugh. I was telling him a bunch of jokes. The good thing my jokes are not funny. It throws him into intense pain. He said when he goes over a railroad track in the car, he could crawl over the railroad track faster than he takes his car over the railroad track. He said that his driveway has a little bit of a dip as they turn. So as a result, he almost comes to a complete total stop and at 1 or 2 or 3 miles an hour eases his way into the driveway because any kind of bump or jar in the car causes intense pain. He said people yell at him going by. They give him dirty looks. Maybe they non-verbally give him a hand signal. Very, very upset at him because they figure he's just a dude that's either doesn't know how to drive or is deliberately provoking the people behind him by going a mile and a half over a railroad track and turning into a driveway by going half a mile an hour. Obviously, none of those people know his circumstances. All they know is that he's momentarily inconveniencing them. That's what he knows. That's what they know. And they get angry at him. Why? Because they interpret the situation to mean this guy's just being jerky. He's deliberately trying to make my life inconvenient. I got places to go, people to see. He said the road reaction of so many people because of the way he has to drive, because of his back. It's very fresh. His incision is very fresh. Amazes him. It doesn't surprise him. He's a counselor. But it got me to thinking, how often do I do that? I'm not talking about the road. I'm pretty much keep to myself on the road. How often do I not know the reason behind someone's irritating behavior, whatever that might be, and interpret it as he shouldn't be doing this. He's inconveniencing me. He's making my life temporarily more frustrating. Now, one might say, but Dr. Ray, probably 99% of the time that anybody turns that slowly or goes over a railroad track that slowly, they're just bad drivers. I'll acknowledge that. Or maybe they're not bad drivers. Maybe they had an accident at a railroad track, and now they're ever so cautious about crossing, looking both ways six times. What struck me about what he said was the realization that nobody knew his circumstances, and yet how angry they got at him. I'm assuming that if they would have known his circumstances, they would have felt, well, most of them would have felt sheepish, foolish, intolerant, unpleasant, small. I'm going to assume that. I give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't think too many people go, well, I don't care if your back's in agonizing pain. You still shouldn't go that slowly over railroad tracks. That could be a few people like that. The lesson for me, I got to be really careful about what I choose to be irritated over. Always keeping in mind, there's a real possibility I do not know what is actually at play here. I may think I do. And in fact, 80% of the time I could be right. But what about that other 20? How often am I ready to retaliate, respond in frustration? Because that person isn't behaving as I think they should. And I know the reasons they're not behaving as they should. One line open, 877-573-7825. I am not interpreting that line being open as rejection. I'm not going to do it. Many of you people may be in a car not able to call. Many of you people might not want to call, nervous about your voice being on the air. Many of you people may not like me. Now that I'll take personally.
Do you have time to help a child in Pontiac improve their learning and academic skills? Catholic Charities of Southeast Michigan needs volunteer tutors to work with children from Hispanic families from 1st to 5th grade. And you don't need a background in Spanish. The children speak English but need help with their homework. If you are free afternoons from 3 to 5, you can be a tutor. Learn more, call 248-338-4250, extension 3719, or email info@ccsem.org.
The temperature and leaves are beginning to change, and so are the rebates on all vehicles in inventory. Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, and during our Jeep Celebration event going on now, you can lease a new Jeep Cherokee, Patriot, or Compass for as little as $139 per month. These are award winners for quality, styling, and gas mileage. Come on in and see for yourself at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
On the next Christ is the Answer program, Father Ricardo talks with a men's group about the necessity of praying and reading Scripture. His titles are, What We Have Here is a Failure to Communicate, Prayer, Quality Time with a Father, and The Single Best Personal Trainer, Scripture. Listen to Christ is the Answer Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday evenings at 6, and Sunday mornings at 11 on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
Christ is the Answer is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
When I was in sophomore, junior, and we would be at these little neighborhood get-togethers, maybe somebody would have dancing, and I'd just sit on the picnic bench. A couple of reasons. One, as a dancer, I stunk, looked like a frog in a blender. And two, nobody wanted to dance with me, except my mom, which isn't really cool. Anyway, I got this from... Just before we go to your credit, I got this from Josie. She just sent it. Hi, Josie. I hope you're listening. She says, okay, after today's monologue, I am totally humbled. Josie, I wasn't talking directly to you. I was talking to me. I hope I can reform my life from so many dumb things. Ingratitude, impatience. Prayers for the man you were speaking about. Josie, thank you. That's awful sweet. Okay, and by the way, the fact that you are open to saying, yeah, I do that stuff, tells me that you're not as so many dumb things in your life as you think. Oh, so many calls. Let's see what we can do to get up there and get a lot of folks. Diana calling from Denver, Colorado, Catholic Radio Network. Hi, Diana.
Good morning. Good morning. Oh, my question is, I have a 16-year-old daughter who has gone on a couple of school functions with this boy from another school. Found out a few days ago, her best friend told her mother, who's my friend, some things about that are just absolutely a no-brainer for me to say no. And I told her, no, I can't tell you, but you're not dating this boy anymore. And she's demanding to know why. Do I need to tell her why, or he says, I'm going to keep talking to him unless you tell me why?
Well, I think she's going to keep talking to him even if you do tell her why. She talked to him at school, is that correct?
Well, they don't go to the same school.
So how does she talk to
him? I'm sure they text each other. Well, they text each other.
Mm. Did you say to her, you know, sweetheart, that's one way to get your phone taken from you?
No, I didn't say that.
Because she's saying, Mom, I don't care what you say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question, should I give her a reason? Well, first of all, you don't have to give her a reason. That's not in the mother's rule book. However, it could probably help more than hurt if you give her a reason. But Dr. Ray, how could it hurt? Well, it could hurt because she'd say, hey, I'm attracted to bad boys. All right? That's possible. But if you say, here's what I know. Well, how do you know that? Who told you that? How do you know that's true? Okay, that's what you're going to get. That's exactly what you're going to get, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. I already have.
Oh, okay. That. Boy, I hate when I predict the past. Okay. So given that, if you ask her, if I tell you the reasons, one, would you believe them? And two, would it make any difference? Okay, so you got to get to know where her mindset is on this.
Okay.
Is this one of her close friends who told you this?
Yes.
Mom
told me. She told her mom, and then her mom told me because she felt it was important enough for me to know.
Well, here's the deal. If this kid is really bad news, really bad news, he's had trouble with the law, he's into drugs, et cetera, then as a parent, okay, as a parent, you can tell her, this is what I know, this is what I found out, it's my duty to protect you from something like that. This is not just a kid that I happen to not like. This is not just a kid that I think is rude to you. This is not just a kid that I think doesn't take school seriously. This is a major antisocial kid. You may not know this. I do. So therefore, from this point forward, you may try to talk to him however you can. I can't stop that. But I'll tell you what I will do. I may have to, if you insist on this, I may have to just take your phone as soon as you walk in the door. I'll give it back to you when you get up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'd give her the reasons.
Yeah.
I really would.
Okay, her friend is afraid, or my friend's mom is afraid that if she finds out who told her, and then everything's going to just fall apart for her school, at their school.
Okay. Now, you just brought up another issue here, Diana. I know I'm taking this out too far, but you just brought up another issue. This is the whole idea that narking, as the kids call it, on someone is a worse sin than protecting them from potential harm or evil.
Mm-hmm.
That this mother's going, oh, I don't know. I mean, you know, gee, this could be a real problem. If I tell her the guy's got a rap sheet 9 miles long, gee, that could be a real problem. That's real trouble.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter's 26 years old. When she was working at a fast food place, she wanted to date some guy that was major league bad news. I told her, good thing she didn't make me follow through on this. If I find out you're seeing him, the first time it's going to cost you $2,000 off your tuition. I'm not paying for it. And the second time I'll cut you off.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty stiff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she could have gone behind my back. I could have, quote-unquote, set up the terms for her to go behind my back. But this guy was bad news, major bad news. He was going to use her. I had to do what I could do to protect her from her own dumb judgment. And that may be what's at play for your daughter here, her own dumb judgment. The other thing, Diana, after you bring all this to light, see how your daughter reacts. Because if she basically comes across like she doesn't care, or it doesn't matter because she likes this guy, she's telling you she needs a little more supervision because she could make some real dumb moves.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sweetheart.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call. I'll talk to
Thank
you.
Thank you.
All right, honey. I'll see. Okay, quick comment from Carolyn. She says, Dr. A, you influenced me in your monologue, which is my hope, how God has taught her patience. Hi, Carolyn.
Dr. A, I have to say, I just chuckled so hard when you were talking about that. Because I was the biggest road rage person in the world till I started walking in the footsteps of Jesus. I asked for patience. Be careful what you ask for.
Well,
today, when there's somebody slow in front of me, I laugh. And I say, thank you, Jesus. You saved me from an accident or a speeding ticket.
Well, you know, what I'm thinking, Carolyn, is that that old person in front of you could be me, you know?
Right?
I used to be cool. I used to be able to go the speed limit. Now I drive with my blinker on, and I got a bobbing dog in the back, and I'm have to make sure I wear a hat. And then when I merge on the interstate, it's 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 25, 20, you know. I understand.
I have to say, there's still ones that get me upset. The ones that take up two lanes while they're having a conversation with somebody else in their vehicle.
Yeah,
and
I can
understand
then
they that. Decide after the light changes which way they're going to go.
My brother shared to me an experience yesterday where some guy just... My brother didn't do anything wrong, but the guy, he followed him. He jammed on his brakes in front of my brother trying to get him to hit him. It was ugly. Ugly, ugly. My brother's not a guy you want to mess with. And this guy was just being a total jerk about it all. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing how a vehicle in front of you makes you real brave. Some of the worst things I've gotten on the road from drivers, other drivers, has been from women. Oh, boy. Thanks for the call, dear.
Hurricane Matthew has hit the United States, but its greatest impact has been in Haiti, which is already the poorest country in our hemisphere. Many lives have been lost, thousands of homes destroyed, and Catholic schools and orphanages have been severely damaged. Help Cross Catholic Outreach empower Haiti's priests, nuns, and Catholic ministries with food, medicines, and other life-saving resources. Call 866-765-4280 or go to crosscatholic.org. That, again, is crosscatholic.org.
The Doctor Is In is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds.
The Ave Maria Mutual Funds offer equity and fixed income mutual funds that can combat today's low interest rates that harm many long-term investment plans. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Their portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. To learn more, the number is toll-free, 1-866-AVE-MARIA, or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The mystery of death has troubled and fascinated humanity since the beginning of time. Our own experiences of mourning deceased family members and friends teach us the deep longing of the human heart for hope in the face of death. Many Catholics have lost a clear sense of how to face this experience with faith and peace. Planning funeral services in advance is not only a gift to our family and friends, but it is an affirmative way to embrace our own call to resurrection. Please take this time to call your local parish or diocese about pre-planning your cemetery and funeral rites. This message brought to you by Catholic Management Services.
The Doctor Is In is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical, and in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
I am not comfortable with psychobabble. I can't go with that on this program. I don't want to hear where you're coming from. This is Dr. Ray Garrity. Thanks for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. Okay, now, Maria, you don't go anywhere. I'm going to go to an anonymous caller from Cleveland, Ohio. But, Maria, you would be definitely a look-back call. Our anonymous caller from Cleveland, Ohio, The Rock, up that way. Hi, anonymous female caller from Cleveland, Ohio.
That's me. The reason I was calling is my daughter's husband's brother, he and his wife just came out as being polyamorous, and they had another couple and their child move in with them and their two children, and have made the announcement to their whole family, including my daughter and her husband and their little girl, that this couple has moved in and that they are part of the family now, and any invitations for holiday get-togethers, whatever, that those people are to be included now, too.
Now, are they roommates or are they, no, let's just all have one big happy marriage?
They're all, let's have one big happy marriage. They're sharing bedrooms, everything.
Uh-huh. What's your daughter want to do about this?
Well, when she was telling me about all of this, she went on to a website to see what, like, the Catholic, you know, take on polyamory is, and she's raising her daughter Catholic, even though her husband nor his family, they're all liberal Reformed Jews.
They don't morally really care about this.
Right. Well, the mother, the grandmother of these children is very, very upset, but I think that because of their take on life, that at some point they're all going to become okay with it.
Mm-hmm. Is your daughter going to stand alone? Her husband says, well, if that's the way it is, that's the way it is. We got to invite him.
She's guessing right now that her husband's upset right now. But like I said, just because of their take on everything, homosexual marriage, you know, everything, that, and he loves his brother, that he is going to get to the point where we're just going to have to accept this because that's what it is. And I said to my daughter, I said, you know, right now they're going to accept it. Where's your line in the sand? I mean, if they decided that sex with a minor was okay or with animals, I said, is that the line in the sand? Where is the line drawn? You know, and of course I'm concerned for my grandchild that is going to be, you know, exposed to this.
Well, let's make it easy here. You can't do anything about it.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Okay. Now, regarding your daughter, she's going to probably have to make a judgment here on how much her husband will resist her. I love my brother, and we cannot eliminate my brother from Christmas Eve. Not going to happen. Now, your daughter, at some level, can rest a little bit easy in the sense that she doesn't condone this. She doesn't celebrate it. As a Catholic, they probably know where she stands. I'm sure the church would simply say it's just adultery. It's what it is. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's celebrated adultery, but these folks do not in any way ascribe to the same morality that she does through the teaching of the church. They don't.
Right.
So for her to say, well, as long as you're going to do that, you can't really be part of my family life. That could put her at direct odds with her husband.
Right.
Now, if he decides and says this is goofy and I really don't want my kids exposed to this, all right, that's a decision they make. If it were me personally, it takes an awful lot for me to push somebody or nudge somebody out of my life because of their immoral conduct. It does. Unless they're dangerous or hurting. Many of the people that I know are not Christians. They're not religious. So to them, their morals are purely cultural or self-chosen. If I were to say, well, I really don't want to have much to do with you because of what you think, what you believe, what you do, there's no way I'd have contact with a whole lot of people. Now, if it's family members, that's even worse. You know, I got divorced family members who've remarried. What do you do now? You say, hey, I don't want to see you or your spouse. What do you do? I always try to err on the side of being as much as I can loving of the person. And I know, personally, I'm not condoning what they do. Now, I know there are people listening to me right now because I've gotten emails because of this. Dr. Ray, you need to draw a line in the sand. You need to show them that this is inappropriate. And there would be consequences for this. And part of the consequences are that they will lose contact with relatives. Yeah, you can do something like that. But what do you gain? How do you witness Christ if you say, well, you conduct yourself immorally according to my beliefs and my church's teaching, I'm writing you off. Interestingly enough, now just think about this here. What about someone who's having an adulterous relationship, all right, with another person outside their marriage? What would you do then? would you say, basically? Well, okay, I'm not inviting you or your wife to Christmas Eve because I know what he's doing.
Okay.
Yeah, what do you do? I mean, this is also, this, you can really get yourself in a situation. Now, some people say, but Dr. A, that's scandal. Well, it's not really scandal because they're not Catholic. You know, they're not living against the church's teaching that they proclaim. These are people who just flat out look at your daughter like she's the oddball. So you kind of find out from your daughter where her husband is on all this, because I think that's going to be the key in the kind of flexibility she has to respond to this.
We don't want to come across as those bigoted, you know, Catholics in their life that just live by a whole bunch of really strict rules. You know, and I want to show them that we have a lot of love in our family and that we have joy with our Catholicism. But at the same time, we don't agree with what they're doing. And there's, you know, there's studies.
Don't you think they know that?
My daughter mentioned to me, too, about, I don't, they, in this letter that they wrote, they said how much better this was going to be for the children to have all these parents in their lives.
Well, of course. Everybody justifies what they do, of course.
But my daughter found studies that said that this actually hurts children.
Well, I don't know that. There's no, I mean, obviously, if there's a God and he says the way to do it is two committed man and wife, then that's the way to do it. That's what works the best. So I wouldn't be surprised if the studies confirm it. But that's not relevant to them. Data means nothing. This is what they want to do. My suspicion is they're going to know where your daughter stands. Somehow, some way, they're going to know. If it's her husband that tells them, or the fact that she's just Catholic and they somewhat understand how Catholics see things, they're going to know. This is Dr. A. These are the kinds of calls where I get in trouble.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by a gift made from our day sponsor. To honor Father John Hedges, pastor of St. Stephen's in New Boston. Father John is a true man of God, a devout and holy man, and a superb pastor who is loved by his parishioners and their children. You can be a day sponsor too. Call toll free 1-877-288-1077 and say, I want to be a day sponsor. Fire on the Earth's Peter Herbeck on the diminishing influence of God on our culture and ultimately in us.
One of the reasons why the church today is not having the impact it can have and should have is we've accommodated too much to the culture. Sunday has just become another day. The whole culture has just sort of transformed it and said, hey, there's nothing special about it. Now, the world is going to do what the world's going to do. But Christians have to be wise and not be conformed to the patterns of this world. That's a pattern in this world that's destructive. It's destructive because, one, it offends God, first of all. God says, keep holy the Sabbath. Keep holy the Lord's Day. And so many people have stopped going to church. Why? Because they're just busy. Why? Doing what? Playing golf, watching sports. Jesus loves our sentiments and our feelings, but he also looks at us seriously and says, do you seek to obey my commandments? Where are my commandments in your life? Are they a burden? Are you afraid they're going to take away your fun in life and are going to ruin your weekend? Do you resist them? Or do you hunger after them? Are they a light for your path?
Peter Herbeck spreads fire on the earth weekday mornings at 6:30 and again at 11:45 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Last night my wife and I had words. I didn't get to use mine. Delighted to have you with me here on The Doctor's Inn. Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. I'm Dr. Ray Goretti. TV program, Living Right with Dr. Ray on the EWTN Global Catholic Television Network. It was on this morning at 9 o'clock. It runs every Tuesday, 9 o'clock in the morning. And the prime time is Saturday, 10 o'clock at night, Eastern. This is all Eastern time. Patty, I didn't, you hung up. I was going to go to you very first. Patty says, I'm considering changing from Catholic to evangelical. Well, I'll tell you, Patty, I did that, you know. I did that. I left the church about 8 years. I was an evangelical. Patty says, I want to know what I'm missing. I love our faith. Maybe I'm not worthy of it all. Patty, I don't know what your situation is, but the last thing you want to think is you're not worthy of it all. Nobody's worthy of any of God's gifts. Our faith. Here's the thing, Patty. If Jesus established a church, and historically, there's no doubt that that church was the Catholic Church from the get-go. You can't argue with it. Oh, yeah, I've seen people argue with it, but you can't. Historically, that's the way it is. And if you look at what the early church believed, you will find that what the early church believed was very Catholic to this day. So you may be more comfortable in evangelical churches. They may have a better sermon. They may have more welcoming attitude. That's what pulled me. But the question for you, Patty, is the truth. What is the truth? If Christ is God, did he establish a church? And if he did, where is it? I suggest you look into it before you make a move. Maria from Portland, Oregon. Very, very straightforward question. Hi, Maria.
Yes, how are you? Good morning in the state of Oregon. How are you?
And that is KBVM you're listening?
Yes, I am.
That is that's about a 20-year-old. That's one of the very, very first Catholic stations.
Yes, and I love it for that. Okay. So, my question is, a very good friend, she does have this diagnosis. We're going to put it in parentheses because it's not a legal diagnosis. However, she feels with anxiety, panic attack, and depression, which she didn't have or didn't think she had before. Now, the first time she felt so bad, they called 911 and the ambulance took her to the ER. The emergency room.
That's the standard. That's the standard stuff. She was having a heart attack. Thought she was losing her mind. Thought she was going to faint. Thought she was unraveling physically. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. This is awful. This is terrible. This is the most distressing experience, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I got clients like that all the time. Sometimes I'll go two or three times to the emergency room.
Now, the problem is that because of your profession, and most of us see the three things that I just mentioned. But she doesn't agree with that. What she thinks is that the doctor, there's something wrong out there with doctors that are not realizing she does have a heart attack. So
she doesn't believe them. She doesn't believe the emergency room. She knows something is wrong and they just missed it.
Yes.
Yep. That's another common attitude. I get that from my clients. That's why they keep checking it. I know something is really, really wrong, and the doctors aren't finding it.
Correct. The depression comes when we all believe that she needs some help. So she thinks that we think she's crazy and that she's making it up.
What's your question? What's your question? What's your question for me?
First of all, does she need a psychiatrist, a psychologist, besides the prayers?
Well,
above.
It sounds like she's not gone to either until she decides that there isn't something physically wrong with her. You can tell her you're not crazy, not at all. This is your body acting up. Anxiety, panic attacks is very, very common thing. There are many, 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 many reasons why it happens. Once you get a clean bill of health, what you're dealing with is your body overreacting, pumping out adrenaline, and making you react in terror. And that's what's happening. Your brain is faking your body out. Your brain is telling your body, danger, 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 danger. And your body is reacting in a terribly distressing physiological response. She's not crazy. You can tell her she's not crazy. If she wants to do this without medication, she needs to find a good therapist who will walk her through what's going on, help her to understand it, help her to realize that these very terrible feelings and reactions are not going to hurt her, and that there are ways to make it so that they happen less and less. Right now, because she doesn't understand them, because she's afraid it's going to happen again, the shrinks call that anticipatory anxiety, she lives in this constant low-level state of anxiety. When am I going to have another panic attack? If I have one while I'm eating out, I got to leave the restaurant immediately. If I have one while I'm driving, I got to get home as quick as I can. If I have one while I'm in a crowd, I got to leave. I got to get away from there. So she's got an awful lot of ideas that are wrong. And these ideas are causing problems for her. There's a guy named Dr. David Carbonell. C-A-R-B-O-N-E-L-L. You look him up. I had a seminar with this guy. He is, I think, right on the cutting edge of dealing with anxiety, panic attacks, all the various forms of anxious reactions, using the brain, using your ability to think this through in a much better way. Okay, Dr. David Carbonell. Thanks, Maria. God bless you for helping your friend. This is Dr. Ray. Got to run. Be back with your calls.
Ann Arbor Smiles is a state-of-the-art dental practice led by the talents of Doctors Dan Kennedy, Chris Marzoni, and Stephen Gray. One of their many satisfied patients is Debbie Herbeck, the wife of Fire on the Earth host Peter Herbeck.
For the past 25 years, our family has been going to Doctors Kennedy and Marzoni, and we've been receiving quality dental care. And one of the things we love about going there, besides all the friendly faces, is that the dentists really do know us, and they're really there to serve the needs of our family.
Go to AnnArborSmiles.com today.
Hurricane Matthew has hit the United States, but its greatest impact has been in Haiti, which is already the poorest country in our hemisphere. Many lives have been lost, thousands of homes destroyed, and Catholic schools and orphanages have been severely damaged. Help Cross Catholic Outreach empower Haiti's priests, nuns, and Catholic ministries with food, medicines, and other life-saving resources. Call 866-765-4280 or go to crosscatholic.org. That, again, is crosscatholic.org.
The following is a message brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan. Symbols in Scripture reveal profound meanings of God's eternal truths. In the ancient world, a serpent or dragon was a symbol for evil. So it's not surprising we find both in the Bible representing Satan. In Eden, a serpent comes to the garden to tempt Adam and Eve. God promises that serpent that one day Eve's child would crush the serpent's head. In Revelation, we see a symbolic dragon before a woman about to give birth to a son. We see this woman as Mary, a new Eve, and her newborn son is Jesus. Jesus is saved before the dragon can devour him, so Jesus can crush Satan's head when he dies on the cross. Throughout Scripture, we see this battle of good versus evil, and we have hope in knowing that God ultimately wins. For more insights into the meaning of Scripture, visit the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan on Facebook or at cbsmich.org.
Dr. Ray Guarendi here. I realized, as Andrew Kruchek, my producer man, pointed out to me, I've not given out the phone number since the very beginning of the program. There's a reason for that. I'm in training for the Humility Award. I want to win it back from Al Cresta. And I can't really give out the phone number. It's kind of self-promoting, isn't it? My hope is that you have it on your refrigerator or the back of your toilet seat somewhere. But were I to give it out at this late time in the program, 877-573-7825, I want to give it out in all humility. Roger from Texas calling. He's getting a little verbally bad. scattered from family members. Hey, you ever noticed most of the time, most of the verbal battering we get is from family members? Hi, Roger.
Hey, how's it going? Love the show.
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate that. These family members,
yeah.
Who are they?
Oh, they're just like in-laws, mainly, you know, in-laws and some of the, you know, maybe uncles or aunts.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like I gotten closer recently in the last 2 years. You know, I've always grew up Catholic, always been in the faith a little bit, but not like the last 2 years. I've grown so much more, and I feel like they're like, well, as long as you don't preach it to me, that's what they always say. Like, they're like, well, as long as you don't preach, but they say it out of anger, kind of like it's a bad thing. Like, and then I've been the most peaceful I've ever been, but at the same time, I'm struggling with, I've also been the saddest I've ever been because of the way, like, the news, the world, like, I find peace, but then also I'm like, I got to change the world because there's all this bad stuff. And then, you know, with the leaks about that you're trying to start a revolution in the Catholic Church. And, you know, it kind of really angered me. I'm like, I don't know, God doesn't want to be angry. So how can I kind of balance that where I feel the most peaceful I've ever been, but at the same time, the most depressed because of the way society is going forward and the way, you know, people are coming out trying to destroy the church, you know, with the Catholic Spring or whatnot. So and then, you know, family members, Jack, I feel persecuted. And I know that's normal, but how do I talk myself into seeing the light? And
is your wife
like
on
saying,
is your wife on your side?
Yeah, kind of. Well, I say kind of because she's, how do you say it? She goes to church. We go to church all the time. We haven't missed since I've started. But she's in it, but not in it like I am. Let's just say that. Like, but she doesn't say anything negative, but she's kind of like, not don't fight, but kind of work, like, you know, paraphrasing, like, don't fight with them, which I'm not fighting, but she means like don't get in arguments with people or, you know, I don't know.
Okay, let's take this at two levels. Actually, three. Your first level, the most important one, I think, is to show your wife that your Catholic faith makes you a far better husband. You are more loving, you're more serving, you're more caring. You look for ways to do good for her in ways that you never did before so that she can say, my husband Roger is becoming sweeter by the month. And the only thing I can think is that as he gets deeper into his Catholic faith, he treats me with more love and respect, even when I act jerky. Okay, that's really big. Really, really big. Two, your in-laws. They say, we don't care you become Catholic, just don't preach to us. You say, have I been preaching to you? Well, yes, Roger, you do. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't want to do that. My beliefs are very important to me, but I'm not going to push them on you. Well, that's good, Roger, because we don't want to hear it. Okay, you got my commitment. If you have any questions about the faith, though, ask me. I'll do my best to explain it. That's really what you got to do. You got to back off them. All too often, especially with us guys, when we become more zealous for the faith, we want to tell everybody. We want to get into arguments about abortion, and we want to get into arguments about politics, and we want to get into discussions about all kinds of morality, and they react poorly. People do not like, as a general rule, to get into discussions that make them look reasonably at their own beliefs. They don't want to do that. I don't know if it's always been that way, but I'll tell you from a shrink's perspective, that's what I see. So you'll have to back off on that. Now, part about the world. I know what you're saying. Some of it, if our Lord says you have joy and peace, then I got to take him at his word. And I got to do my very best to have joy and peace, knowing he's got this the way he's going to handle it. In the meantime, there may be much suffering and heartache and destruction. Okay. But at the same time, I got to leave a lot of that up to the Lord. It's not for me to sort out. And if my religion becomes for me a source of depression or sadness or frustration or anger, then I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe I better just quit watching the news. Maybe I better quit reading some of the stuff I read, how it's all going to hell in a handbasket. Because I do not want my faith to be a source of angst. I don't think our Lord would want that either. Okay? So, I do my best to keep good spirits. I find that as I've come back to the church from 20 years ago, less and less people are willing to engage me or talk about the faith. Every once in a while, I got a good opportunity, so I take it. But for the most part, people, they don't want to hear it. You know? And I know there are those folks who say, you have to speak the truth no matter what. Yeah, that's true. But when you've got somebody saying to you, shut up, I don't want to hear it. You have to know when to shut up. Thanks, Roger. Good call. I'll talk to you. Well, I got to run. This is Dr. Ray. Program coming to a close. Always a pleasure to be with you. Very, very much. Interestingly enough, your calls stimulate me to think. I got to. I don't know what's coming up on that computer board. Andrew does. Andrew Krucek does. So that makes him a little more prepared than I am. But I don't know. Therefore, I've got to ponder what might be a good direction to take or a good thought to throw out. Sometimes I'm at a loss. Because the range of the human condition is almost infinite. Thank you so much for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. Walk with God. You got kids. Hold them tightly by the hand. And use Purell. At least on their hands anyway.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit drray.com. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
We hear a lot about temperance in regard to alcoholic consumption. But in reality, it is to be exercised in regard to all pleasures. The Catholic Catechism says temperance is the moral virtue that moderates the attraction of pleasures and provides balance in the use of the created goods, ensuring mastery of the will over our instincts, keeping desires within honorable limits. The Old Testament praises temperance by cautioning us against following our base desires and urging us to restrain our appetites, which could mean foregoing that second chocolate chip cookie. The New Testament puts it this way: we ought to live sober, upright, and godly lives in this world, helping us on the road to a more desirable location in the next. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
You remember the day you first laid eyes on her. They handed you the keys and you drove back home for everyone to admire. And although the memories have been made, it's time to pass the torch to someone else. Consider donating your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Even if it's not running, we'll take care of everything from pickup to your tax receipt. Just call 866-628-CARS.